The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Derek Stingley, beast. He was great. We'll probably be finding out in the next 24 hours or so if I had to predict that he will be the defensive player of the week. Boy, that pick, that second pick, which we're about to hear here in a minute, has gotten a ton of attention this week on all the big shows.
Oh, it was right. I mean, because it was on Tyreek Hill especially. Yes. And he was just yanking the ball away from Tyreek Hill.
It got a lot of attention, yeah. Man. Got a lot of attention. So that's good. That's good for, if you're Derek Stingley and you're trying to get those accolades, like your first Pro Bowl or first team All-Pro, which I think he's in the mix for right now.
I'll say, too, Tua kind of threw a big compliment to Kamari Lassiter and his press availability after the game, just talking about, okay, the poison pill of when the Texans are in single high coverage, okay, do you attack Derek Stingley or do you attack Kamari Lassiter? And wow. You got a pain in the butt there. And those two guys, they are both in the top three for completion percentage when targeted in the NFL. As a cornerback duo, that is emerging as one of the best in the NFL.
Good as it gets. Cornerback duos and defensive end duos, the Texans, that has been, look, if they're going to make a run, that's what's going to fuel them. It's gonna come from that side of the football. It ain't coming from the offense right now.
They've got a left guard trio on the season now.
They do.
Three different guys play left guard. Well, four if you include Kendrick Green.
Yeah. For a few plays. Here's D'Amico.
He hasn't even been discussed in the last.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on to Derek.
Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday asked, how impressive was Derek Stingley on Sunday?
Yeah, it's very impressive. Like I said, it's very rare you see a player make a play that way to end the game. Like that was that's all pro type plays. Like that's what it looks like, you know, when you're one of the top guys of your position in the league, going up, matching it up against, you know, one of the best wideouts in the league as well, and to make the plays that he made, you know, can't say enough about how impactful Stingley has been, you know, throughout not only those plays on yesterday, but Stingley has been impactful throughout the entire year. I think from the past three wins, he's been our defensive player of the game. So when he's making impact plays, it's putting us in position to win football games.
I think the biggest thing about that game was, remember early on when in the first, it might have been the first or second series for the Dolphins, Stingley tried to undercut that route to Tyreek Hill. And you're wondering, like, oh boy, they might be setting him up for some double moves here at some point. I think the thing about Stingley, and including on that game-sealing interception, he's very smart in terms of knowing the game plan of the offense and knowing tendencies, I think. And I think he takes calculated risks. And you hesitate to say that because sometimes a guy can just get lucky a few times and you think they're calculated risks. He's very much in that zone now where there's times where it might look like he's beat, but he's actually just baiting a little bit. He knows when he's got help over the top. And I thought he did a masterful job of that against Tyreek Hill.
He was really interesting. He was on the postgame show with me and Clint. And I find this stuff interesting as somebody who didn't play. Anytime you're hearing guys describe what was going on in their mind out there when they made a play, here's a play-by-play. This is Mark Vandermeer's call on the first interception, which took place on a third down in the Texans' red zone with the Dolphins driving for the tying touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Tua in the gun. Here's the snap. Tua, quick fire, right side, and intercepted by Stingley. He's got it across the 15 and wrestled out of bounds by Hill. Derek Stingley Jr., the INT. He turns back Miami.
All right, so here was Stingley on the postgame show. We asked him to take us through the interceptions, that kind of thing. And Stingley doesn't talk much, so I was not expecting, I just studied some film and jumped the route, and that was it. I thought this was pretty cool, him kind of taking us through the whole mindset of the play.
I ended up on Tyreek in the slot, and I knew if he gave me an outside release, I was thinking it was going to be like a deep out or corner, like some, not a go ball, just for the simple fact that most people, when they guard him, they think, okay, he's fast, probably running a deep route. So, like, it, just mind games going along. But I wasn't really thinking deep right there. So, as soon as he broke, I kind of broke and then picked it.
Picked it?
So he basically called other cornerbacks idiots. Scared.
Yes.
He called them scurred.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're scurred of the deep ball. And that, That is
it helps when you got skills like Stingley.
No, but it, you know, when you look at like, and that's the difference between Diggs in Dallas as a young player. Boy, he was really opportunistic, but also, man, he was also making. He was so aggressive that he was making a lot of mistakes and allowing big stuff over the top. Like, that's the whole part of cornerbacks that really elevates guys up into that next level is when they know what a guy's threats are, but they know the game plan and what they like to do in different situations and everything. And that the mental side of the game for really good cornerbacks is, I think, really underappreciated. And Stingley's just, he strikes me as kind of like Kobe in terms of just being a nerd for his sport. Like, just kind of, I think he's immersed in it and obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I think you're starting to really see the dividends of that because it just, he keeps logging reps, and he's starting to get a feel for the way the game is played.
Yep. Here was the second interception, and we'll play the audio, the highlight here, and then I'll let you know what impressed me about Stingley's answer on this one.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted! Stingley again! That's going to do it! The Texans are going to beat Miami! Stingley's second pick seals the deal!
Great call.
And Houston will get its ninth win.
Great call by Vandy on that one. Here was Stingley taking us through the interception that everybody's been watching for the last 2 days around the league that sealed the deal against the Miami Dolphins.
The second one, I think I was in a slot again, but that's situational. You know, they got to get down the field. That time I was thinking deep shot. So as soon as he passed the little threshold of when you could break down on the route and the turn, look for the ball.
There it was. Yeah, so he That what impressed me about that is like, okay, it's the last 2 minutes. They're not dinking and dunking down the field.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tyree, this is going to be something that's deep. And as soon as I get past whatever the amount of yardage
the landmark is,
you flip your hips and you're turning around.
That's the other, like, if your defensive back's coming into the league, the landmarks are a little bit different. Routes are run at, like, different standard depths and everything.
Yeah.
And they get super comfortable with that, but then they know how teams can tweak it and how your receiver might handle it. And it's just all that. It's all that stuff above the X's and O's that he's really become a true veteran safety. All right, cornerback / slot corner.
In those plays, he's
playing over the last 5 weeks. He's traveled with the best receiver. He's played on both sides of the ball. I think that the defensive side of the ball right now feels like the way the Texans operate, that's the most Astros-like part of their team in that you've got guys who they come into the system – and then you can just almost chart their progress.
Yeah.
They get better and better and better and better. Henry Toa is playing like a completely different human being this year compared to what he showed last year. And I thought I was trying to be cautiously optimistic about Henry Toa, but I was just worried that he looked so uncomfortable last year and he didn't even look as fast as he did at Alabama. And I think probably some of that was just because of mental hesitation. I know he was a little bit heavier too, but he looks like a completely different guy. Christian Harris last year turned into a completely different player midway through the system. You look at all the different linebackers that had shuffled through. You look at the way the defensive backs are playing. You look at the way some of these defensive tackles come in and then go off and get a better contract elsewhere. You know, Sheldon Rankins. I've been calling him Sheldon Rankins.
You had the Astros on your mind. John You're Singleton. Thinking about the Astros?
No, I'm thinking about the filmmaker. Yeah. So, it's a show of respect. So, that feels like the Astros. Like, oh, guys come here, and then they get better. And then they leave, but you can find somebody else to replace. That feels awesome.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to coaching. That's why I've got no interest in giving Bobby Slowick a break because, frankly, whenever I look at a team where I think, okay, could a really good coach improve that? And I say yes, then okay, then this guy that's here is expendable. And on the offensive side of the ball, I see a lot of expendable features.
Yeah, and you should be able to get your pick of the litter of guys if you think highly of to be an OC here, given who the quarterback is. You're not whoever it is not being asked to come in and repair a broken quarterback.
What if Kevin Stefanski just says, I want out? He doesn't get fired. He forces a trade.
Yeah, that's interesting. That'd be great.
He starts dishing stories to Mary Kay Cabot about, how weird the owners are or something.
I'd say take the Lombardi trophies they have in their cases in Cleveland, tie them to the bumper and drive around the lot with them. But they don't have any trophies in Cleveland at all. None.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they may have some from before the Super Bowl back in the day. But that doesn't count to me.
It's hard for us to sit here and, you know, throw stones at from our glass house, but still.
But yeah. I will.
There's no legacy of greatness or anything that's going to tie him there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know that it's not.
Bring him in.
It's not like Lincoln Riley's statue that he should have stayed and that's waited right. to receive.
No kidding. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Hey, a reminder, 9 o'clock hour, giving away Texans tickets. Ravens-Texans on Christmas Day. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. Seth, are you ready to get petty?
I've been petty.
Pettycast?
I've been petty since 4 a.m. today.
Seth is going to get petty. I'm going to get petty. We'll play random bits of pettiness from around the world of sports. It is the Tuesday Pettycast, and it is coming up next.